Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us continue our worship service with the singing of Psalter 116, verse 1, 2, and 4. As pants the hart for cooling streams when heated in the chase, so longs my soul, O God, for thee and thy refreshing grace. 1, 3, and 4 of 116. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophet Isaiah, beginning with the 22nd verse of chapter 43 into chapter 44, ending with the 8th verse. But first let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast bought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou, that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father hath sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jezreel whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God, and who, as I shall call, and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time, and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Thus far the reading of God's word.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence upon word and sacrament. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art the creator of all things, the upholder of all things, and on the first day of this week, on this beautiful morning, we with our families may come together as individuals into thy house to hear again what thou hast to say unto us through the audible gospel and the visible gospel, through thy precious word, but also through the sacrament of holy baptism. And Lord, as we have come together with the congregation, may we beg thee in the first place for thy presence. Lord, wilt thou not pass us by as we rightly deserve? Oh, we have left thee in paradise, never to return. We have given unto thee our back. And Lord, by nature now, we only crave for all the things of this world. We're self-centered, we're born and conceived in sin, and our hearts are desperately wicked, and there's no grace, there's no seeking thee, no hunger for thee, no thirst, no sorrow for sin, no repentance, and no true saving faith. It's all dead, dry ground. And oh, we need thee, that almighty God of heaven and earth, to pour water upon us, to pour thy spirit upon us, that there would be life, that there would be that beginning of thirsting and hungering for thee, for the living God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come, apply thy word, work mightily, irresistibly, take away hearts of stone, and give hearts of flesh, hearts that hate sin and love righteousness, hearts that hunger and thirst for thee, hearts that hunger for the living God and that only Savior. O Lord, we beg thee, wilt thou bless thy precious word and the sacrament? O may there be a little water for thirsty ones. O may there be a little crumb for hungry ones. O may there be a little comfort that thou only can give weary, afflicted, guilty, troubled, burdened, unworthy sinners. Lord, may we then be together looking up unto thee, from whom cometh all our help, especially for our never-dying souls. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thou hast promised in thy word that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Thou art that faithful God to an unfaithful people. Thou art that merciful God to a polluted, to a sinful, unworthy people. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then do it for thy name's sake. Thou who art that covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah. Oh, may we hear of how great thou art for absolute wretched sinners through thy word and through the sacrament. And that there may be those blessings that no man can give us, but thou alone, upon the merits of thy dear Son, through his righteousness and through his blood, by the power, the application of the Holy Spirit. Oh, those who are yet dead in sins and trespasses, oh, may they see also that water and see and know that they are filthy. Oh, may they have heard it this morning as a congregation by thy law. May it be a mirror before us to show who we are, polluted, sinful, no good thing in us. And thou hast created us perfect in thy image, to love thee with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and the neighbor as ourself. But by nature, there's only enmity. We're only lovers of self. O Lord, wilt thou then regenerate sinners, boys and girls, teenagers, older ones, adults, seniors? Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Turn sinners, and they shall be turned. Draw them, and they will run after thee. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember then the whole congregation, those who have been made thirsty and are thirsting, waiting, longing for a little favor, for a little token, and can't find it anywhere in self anymore, and come to thy house with longing. O Lord, wilt thou visit them? Remember also all thy dear people who have tasted something, a little refreshing by thy grace in their soul upon those merits of thy dear Son, and it's so dry again, so lukewarm and cold. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would come, stir up their hearts, blow upon those coals, that there may be flames. Oh, refresh them, Lord, by thy grace. Oh, thy servant John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. May it be so among us with thy people. Lord, come then for thy name's sake. Without thee, there's no life. And with thy grace, we are completely dependent upon thee. Without thee, we can do nothing. Lord, we beg and pray thee, remember all those who are mourning, those who have stood around an open grave in this past week. Lord, comfort them. Remember all the widows, widowers, those who have lost children, a father, a mother, a brother, a sister, other relatives, a friend, a classmate. Oh, wilt thou comfort them with that only comfort? Remember all the sick and afflicted with all the cares for the needs of the mind and of the body. Bless the means that they may use, Lord. Remember those that are seriously sick with cancer. O Lord, we beg thee especially for Jeff Valdesgraf, as he has heard discouraging news with all the treatments, yet the cancer is growing. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, have mercy upon him. Thou art a wonder-doing God. All things are possible. If it is thy will, Lord, wilt thou bless it and give him healing, but especially, Lord, remember his soul. Oh, teach us all, sanctify all these callings, that we all have a great disease, greater than cancer, that we have the disease of sin, and we need to be cured, we need to be cleansed, we need to be made whole, and thou art the only one. Oh, wilt thou reveal thyself as that almighty covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah, as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in whom there is complete salvation for completely lost sinners. Lord, remember also the parents who will have to answer those questions. Oh, give them grace, who will have their child baptized. Give them grace to not only to answer, but to live accordingly. Lord, who can answer such questions? Oh, we beg thee, may they then be completely dependent upon thee, needing thee. And may we all as parents remember what we have promised. Oh, wilt thou cleanse us of all our sins and give us the tender fear of the Lord in our hearts? Oh, to answer such questions that I, with the utmost of my power, will raise the child, the children that thou hast given unto us in the fear of the Lord. Lord, bless then the means in our home. Give fathers who are prophet, priests, and king, and may lead and guide their families according to thy word. Lord, remember all those who mourn in a silent way, also in the time of baptism, those who long to have children and do not, or those who long to have more children, those who have lost children, those who have had miscarriages and other ways of losing a child. O Lord, we beg thee, comfort them. And Lord, wilt thou teach us then that we need that one child, that precious child that thou hast sent into this world to seek and save lost sinners. Oh, we know it, Lord. We will all say we're lost, but is there urgency? Oh, may it be by the work of thy Holy Spirit today that lost sinners become lost sinners, and that lost sinners become seeking sinners. And thou hast promised, Lord, that those who seek thee with their whole heart will also become finders. Lord, it's all by thy grace. Look upon us in mercy then. We beg and pray thee that thou would richly bless thy word among Jew and Gentile throughout the world. Help all thy servants on thy day to preach thy word, death in Adam and life in Christ, and how wretched sinners are brought unto that rich Savior. Lord, wilt thou bless it in our denomination, the preaching of the precious gospel. Help all thy servants. But Lord, remember also among thy covenant people, the Jews. Oh, wilt thou take away that veil from their eyes, and that they may see and know that the New Testament that testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Lord, fulfill thy promise unto them. Do it for thy name's sake, but bless also thy word that may be spoken of in our homes, in the school, in the neighborhoods, among prisoners in prisons, but also among the nations. And Lord, bless thy word then also in Bolivia. Lord, we beg and pray thee, help thy servants there, elders, deacons, church workers. Oh, give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts. Oh, that they may know thee, that only true God, and that precious Savior, and that out of him they may be taught, and that they may teach others to lead them unto that only Savior, to point to him. For wretched sinners, that he is that only Savior. O Lord, richly bless thy word then in Bolivia, and look upon them in mercy. And so, Lord, as we are gathered together here in this morning, Lord, help each one to listen. Take away all the distractions, all that would hinder, and look upon us in mercy, and give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach thy word and to administer the sacrament of holy baptism. Lord, come among us. Work mightily, irresistibly, renewing hearts and teaching and edifying thy dear people. O Lord, we deserve nothing. Thou could pass us by because of all our sins. But oh, may we beg thee upon him who sits at thy right hand, oh, may we beg and ask only for thy name's sake and upon that precious name, that only name, that one who is exalted, Lord of lords and King of kings, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. We will now continue with reading the form of the administration of baptism, which you can find in the back of your Psalter on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in, or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified. And we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ and apply unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our mind and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, when they shall arrive to the years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. Let us pray together. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before thy judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. Dear parents, may I please ask you to rise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following three questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Second, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, which you are parents of, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed in to the utmost of your power. Mother, bow here. What's your answer? Father, bow here. Mother Dendecker. Father Dendecker. Father Brayman. Mother Brayman. Dear parents, what a blessing to have children. It's a gift from God. And we also think also of you, Devin and Joanna, in the past also of your sorrow. And now the Lord has blessed you with a healthy baby. What a blessing. But these children that were brought into the world, they also need to leave the world. What's the hope? What's the hope that they will ever be prepared to be able to meet God in peace? What's the hope for your own soul? What's the hope for all our souls? Congregation, it's in that almighty, faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah. In him is hope. And the almighty God gave signs. Signs of the covenant of grace to us and to our children, as we read in the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 66, or Lord's Day think it's 25, question and answer 66, to seal unto us the promise of the gospel. So in the Old Testament was the sacrament of circumcision. There was blood, which pointed to the coming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today in the New Testament, we have the sacrament of baptism, water, that points back to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed. Both sacraments, circumcision and baptism, signify and seal the same thing. The same covenant promises and the same almighty covenant faithful keeping Jehovah. The forgiveness of sins and eternal life in Jesus Christ. And the Lord applies that unto his people, poor, wretched sinners, true believers, lambs and sheep. He applies it. That's why we have the holy baptism, the sacrament in the service. We don't do it private because it's for the whole congregation and God's people, poor, needy sinners who have truly repented, born again, and have faith, that it may be sealed unto them, that they are to look outside of themselves at that water, but not only at that water, but to look to what that water points to. What a blessing that would be, dear parents and congregation, that by that water you may see not only your filth, but that you may see the hope, even a hope in another to cleanse you, but also to be led a little further to see by that water not only the hope in another, but also to have it sealed to your heart that by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. That would be such a blessed Lord's Day. May it be so by the gracious work of that covenant-keeping Jehovah upon the sacrament of baptism. Let us sing now from Psalter 289, stanzas 2 and 3. 289, stanzas 2 and 3. Let hearts rejoice that seek the Lord, his holy name adore. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength. Seek him forevermore. 289, 2 and 3. And after baptism, we will sing standing, Psalter 425, stanza 5. Caroline Rose, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Micah Theodore, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Myra Ann, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee that through the same Son of thy love that thou wilt be pleased to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase, and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, king, and high priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion to the end, that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. We will now sing from Psalter 163, all three stanzas. 163, all three stanzas. O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. And what follows? 163, all three stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the Benevolent Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, by the sacrament of holy baptism, we have seen water and we have heard of the covenant promises of God, His covenant promise. What a wonder. Was it a blessing for your soul? Was it, parents? Was it a blessing? Now, with the Lord's help and depending upon the Holy Spirit, we will consider a portion of God's word where we hear about water, where we hear about a spirit, which is a covenant promise. And so I'd like to ask your attention from God's precious word from Isaiah 44, verse 3. Isaiah 44, verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. So far from God's precious word. The theme is the promised outpouring of covenant blessings. The promised outpouring of covenant blessings. Three thoughts. First, who gives this promise? When someone gives a promise, who gives this? Gives hope. So who gives this promise? And what does that instruct us? What does that teach us? So first, who gives this promise that we hear in Isaiah 44, verse 3? Second, to whom is this promise proclaimed? We will consider verse 1, verse 2. And we will listen to the word of God. So second, to whom is this promise proclaimed? And third, what does he promise? Then we'll come to consider the content. And that is the whole verse, verse 3. And so with the Lord's help, the promised outpouring of covenant blessings. Who gives this promise? To whom is this promise proclaimed? And what is the promise? With the Lord's help, then, our first thought, who gives this promise? Isaiah 44, verse 3, is a covenant promise. It's a great covenant promise for the church of God. And now let's go back to baptism for a moment. Baptism, in the first place, isn't about the parents. It isn't about the babies. It's not even in the first place of the promise of the parents. It's much more. It's much more profound, much greater, that brings comfort, that brings, it's a wonder. We hear of the faithful covenant promise of the Almighty Triune God, thought of by God the Father, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and worked in the hearts of sinners by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we read Isaiah 44, verse 3, who is speaking? Who's speaking? Who is making this promise? We hear someone making a promise. I will pour out my spirit. Is it Isaiah? No, it's not him. He's only an instrument. He's a son of man. He's only a sinful instrument in the hands of God. And so, who? When we receive a promise, the one that gives it to us gives us hope and expectation. Children, for example, if you have a brother, maybe a little older, and your brother promises you something, does that really give you comfort? Can you really have hope and expectation? But now your father, the father in the family, who's strong, who has capabilities, he promises something. That gives hope, that gives expectation, and yet as fathers, we're sinful. We forget things, or we change our mind. But who gives the promise in this chapter? Let's look for a name. Look in your Bible. In this chapter, we find a name, a very precious name of him who makes the promise. Let's read verses 6 through 8. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. And then verse 8, fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from the time and have declared it? Ye are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. So who makes the promise? The Almighty Jehovah, because we read his name in Lord, all capital letters. So Jehovah, he is the only true God. He is the eternal God. He is that only one. He is making that promise. Jehovah, the I am that I am, the all-sufficient one, the almighty one, the one who makes a promise and who will keep it. The creator of the heavens and of the earth, the highest majesty in heaven. He says, I will. Jehovah promises, I will. When someone says, I will do this, he's the initiator or the motivator. For example, I will go and clean my room. That means you're the initiator, you're the motivator. But who's the initiator with much reverence? Who's the motivator of this promise? We do not read, you will, or we will. No, it's nothing from man. What's the situation by man? Man by nature is dead in sins and trespasses. He's not the initiator. He's not the motivator. The Israelites weren't crying for a covenant. No, man. Because by nature we are dead in sins and trespasses. Cast out in the field, polluted in our blood and perishing. But Jehovah speaks. He speaks. He says, I will. It's God. That Almighty One, he's the performer, he's the initiator, he's the motivator. It all flows out of him. That's the hope, congregation. That's hope, parents. That's hope for you, perishing sinner. He is the performer of what he has thought of in eternity. The covenant blessings that will flow to an absolute, unworthy, wretched people through the blood of his dear son by the power of the Holy Spirit. Man says, I will if I can. But God says, I will. There's an absolute certainty because of who he is. It flows out of the heart, out of the mouth of the covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. He will do it. When he wills, and in whom he wills, at his time, which is a perfect time, and we may beg him, work in me that grace that thou revealest unto the saints, reveal it unto me, and reveal it unto my children. Nothing, absolutely nothing, in this whole world, no, not all the devils, not all the sin, will hinder or stop him from fulfilling his covenant faithfulness. Open your Bible to Isaiah 46, and we will read verses 9 through 10. Listen, the Almighty Jehovah speaks. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, and now listen, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. That's the hope. And that free and sovereign grace that comes out of the almighty, covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. So who gives the promise? Jehovah. Not Isaiah. Not a man. It's him. He says, I will pour water. I will pour my spirit. It's only God who works grace in the hearts of lost sinners. He begins. He continues. It all flows out of him. That's the hope. That's the hope. What does it teach us? What's the lesson for us today? Parents, congregation, visitors, what's the lesson? Never give any credit to absolutely any man. Never. Never look to any man. Never look to any minister. Never look to any elder, to deacon. Nope, Children, don't look even to your parents. Don't look to your teachers. Look above it all, unto only to one who is the covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. And we are to look unto him with hope and expectation because of who he is. And that we don't, that's our guilt. But that's how we ought to be, looking unto him with expectation and hope because of who he is. Because he's that covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah, that he can do what we absolutely need for our never dying souls, and that we absolutely cannot do, but that he has the power and ability to do for us. Oh, may we become, listening to this promise of him, become wrestlers with Jacob, like Jacob, Lord, I cannot let thee go except thou bless me and bless my children and bless the congregation. Lord, pour out. Thou art that faithful covenant people, covenant Jehovah. Work in my children. They're lost. They're seeds of me. I'm lost. They need it. I need it. Grandparents, beg, beg upon him who he is for your grandchildren to work in them. That they desperately need before they come to the time that they die. Oh, the Lord is so dishonored if we give any credit to absolutely any man, any servant on this earth. We're just sinners. And Church of God, also you, that you may receive a blessing from an instrument. You need to look above. There's no hope in man. No hope at all. It's in him, and he's so dishonored. If we give credit to any man, may we pray them full that they may be used mightily. But no honor, nothing to man, to him who promises, the almighty triune God, that covenant, faithful, keeping Jehovah. So who makes the promise? Jehovah. That's hope. That's hope for perishing sinners. But to whom? To whom does he make this promise? Well, let's read Isaiah. Let's look in the Word of God. Maybe you have an answer already, but let's look in the Word of God. Let's read Isaiah 44, verse 1 and 2. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. So we hear some names. We hear Jacob, Israel. That's the Israelites. That's the covenant people, whom I have chosen. God has chosen that nation above all other nations. Were they better? No. Who were they? Who are they? We will hear about that soon. But we hear the word Jeshurun. That's a very special word. And sometimes we call our husband or our wife with a dear, very dear word. God uses a word here, very dear for his covenant people. You could say, my beloved, Jeshurun. All that people must be such a blessed people. That people must be so good. That my people must be so holy. That people must be so right that he has chosen. That he has chosen from eternity. That he has chosen Israel. And that he has chosen to say, that people must be so good. So upright. That they become objects of his love. Really? Who are they? Who are the Israelites whom he has chosen? Are they good? Are they upright? No, not at all. Are you good? Are you upright? Am I? Not at all. Listen. Listen to the description of Isaiah, what he gives to this people. And may you listen along. May you hear your own name. Because for such a people that he describes as so lost, polluted, and absolutely unholy and righteous is the ones he proclaims and promised to. Isaiah 1 verse 6. Let's read that verse together. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Is that a picture of a leper? No, that's a picture of a sinner. What a picture. One mass of sin. Is that you? Is that how you came to church this morning? I'm one mass of sin. I'm so polluted from head to toe. It's all oozing. It's all stinking. It's all sin. It's all unrighteousness. It's all wickedness. Is that you? Let's turn back now to Isaiah 43. We can use many texts. But let's turn back to Isaiah 43 and listen to what the Lord says in verse 21. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. That's why he chose Israel. That's why he created them. That's why he created you and me, to live for one purpose, to praise them. But he even chose Israel, of all those nations, to praise him. But is that what the Lord heard? Is that what he sees? Is that what he sees in those Israelites? Is that what he sees in you and me by nature? What does he see? What does he see? Let's read verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me. He has led them out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into that land that flowed with milk and honey. And he warned them and said, only call upon me, worship me and me only. Do not serve any idols. But the Almighty God then saw them bowing to idols, not praying to him. Oh, how that must have pained him, that people that I have chosen, they're calling to idols, they're bowing. But what about you and me? Are we better? No. Maybe we don't have a statue in our house. But are we just serving self, sin, and the world? That's you and me by nature. Is that still? And the Lord has chosen Israel. We're as blessed as Israel. Listen to how blessed they were. What Paul wrote in Romans 9 verse 4. Who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God. And now listen. And the promises. The promises are to Israel. But how are they? What are they looking like? Not calling upon him. Let's go back to verse 22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. May I say it very simply? They're tired. They're tired of the Lord. They're just tired. Tired of serving the Lord. They're wearied. They're burdened. They don't want to do it at all. It's not only that there's neutral, no, there's absolutely even the opposite. They're sick of it. And yet they're doing it. How? Let's read. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honored me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. So they are doing things. They're doing the right things. They're offering, but not the best. But they have become wearied with it. Wearied with it. Verse 24. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of the sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. So we see that word serve. What does that mean? But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Jehovah is speaking to Israel. If you look in the original, it means thou hast burdened me. That's what it means. Thou hast burdened me with thy sins. Is Israel good? Is that chosen people good? Are you good? Does the Lord find his people good? He finds them absolutely lost. Enemies, wretches. We are just like Israel by nature. And he proclaimed all those promises. He gave the gospel, as we heard last week, Sunday night, in that ceremonial law. He blessed them with blessings upon blessings. But now he sees them polluted. One mass of sin. Tired of calling upon him. Tired of serving him. It's all formality, not real, true Christianity. What's that? Doing the right thing, but with no heart. And God sees it. God sees right into our hearts. He called them so many times, repent. Don't bow your knees to those idols. Come before me. Repent. Come, let us reason together. And though your sins be as scarlet, I will make you as white as snow, crimson like wool. He promised. And yet they continued in their sin and they rejected him. How many times have you heard the law? How many times have you heard the precious gospel? And do you still harden your heart? You say, by nature, I'm lost. True, it needs to become your guilt. You need to become lost and guilty in all your incapabilities and in your impossibilities. The Holy Spirit, has He shown you? Has He shown you a little something of who you are? Of who you are, not in comparison to others, but through the word, a law, a mirror before you. I'm sin. It's just one mass. I came to church for so many years, but it was just all formality. I did all the right thing, and my conscience was quiet, and I thought I was so good. I was comfortably lost. But did the Lord show you? I want your heart. I want your heart. I want you. I want your heart. To serve me with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind. And you're just serving self. Religious. Is this you? Are they good? They find out that there is nothing good in them. Not good at all. How does the Lord close this chapter? Verse 28. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary and have given Jacob to the curse and Israel to reproaches. And he even proclaimed unto them, as we read in verse 25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my name's sake, and will not remember thy sins. I have the authority, Israel. You're so polluted. But I have the authority to even forgive your sins. Your sins. And then it ends. How does it end this chapter? It ends in a curse. And then we begin the next chapter. One little small word. Are you so lost? So lost, so polluted, so helpless, so under the curse because of all your sin? Listen, yet that precious word, yet now here, polluted sinners, yet now here, lost sinners, yet now here, one mass of sin, yet now here, formal Christians, yet now here, you who love self. In a very religious way or in a very worldly way. Fear not. Fear not. Hear. The Lord yet speaks. He speaks. And nevertheless, in spite of all the sin, in spite of all the wickedness, in spite of grieving the Lord to his very heart and his being, seeing that people that he had formed for himself to praise him, now only praising idols. That's you and me by nature. Not serving him. Praying, but not really praying. Off our lips, but nothing from the heart. No need. What a wonder. Now listen. He still gives us his word. And this morning we were blessed with the word and with the sacrament. What does he promise? I will pour water, Israel, polluted, lost ones. I will pour water upon the thirsty. I will pour my spirit upon dry ground. So we don't hear of something dripping. When we think of dripping, it's just limited. It's just a little bit, right? Like a tap dripping, just a little bit of water. But we hear of pouring. We hear of an absolute abundance. And chief of sinners, they don't need drips of grace. They need a pouring out of abundance of grace for such wretched ones that have such a mountain of sin. So we hear of pouring out. Whose lips? Whose lips pours with grace? Whose lips? Open your Bible. We'll read from Psalm 45, verse 2. We hear of one whose lips pour forth with grace. Isaiah 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. So who is fairer than the children of men? The King of Kings. This psalm is about a king, about King Jesus, that almighty Savior. And grace, you can translate it. Grace is poured into thy lips. You can translate it. Grace poureth forth from his lips. What a blessing. What a hope in an almighty God, King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. We only deserve that he would pour out wrath upon us. But we don't hear of wrath. He says, I will pour out grace, a grace upon a graceless sinner. The gracious lips express an abundance of grace for the chiefest of sinners. So who gives this promise? Jehovah. What a hope. To whom? To whom? To absolutely unworthy, wretched, lost, polluted, guilty, hell-worthy sinners. I will pour a divine activity, a gracious activity, to absolutely unworthy sinners. Let's sing about him who has those gracious lips. Psalter 124, stanzas 1 and 2, before we come to our last thought. 124, stanzas 1 and 2 standing. My heart doth overflow, a goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 124, 1 and 2. What does he promise? Are you longing for that? Is that what you're longing to hear? What he promises? For such absolute wretches? Let's read verse 3 again. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. So we read two parallel phrases. I will pour water. I will pour my spirit. So the first part is explained by the second part. It's a metaphor. The first part is used to explain the second part. So what is this promise? This promise was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. What an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What a result of that pouring out of His Holy Spirit and the preaching. 3,000 souls were saved in one day. That would be this whole congregation and the whole congregation in Norwich and Brant. What a blessing that the Lord would save absolutely every single sinner. And we read at the end of Acts 2, the Lord added daily such as should be saved. The Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, which we hope to consider this week. And upon His ascension, upon His merits, He sent forth the Holy Spirit. And He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. What a rich blessing. What a rich blessing. May we pay. May we pray. May we beg. May we beseech that Holy Spirit that has been poured out may be poured out in the operations, in the experiences, in the hearts of sinners. That's what we may plead upon. That's also in this verse. Who needs it? Who needs it? Jews need it. Gentiles need it. This church needs it. Our families need it. But you need it. I need it. We all need it. We need that almighty covenant, faithful keeping Jehovah to pour out water upon us, to pour His Spirit upon us. Did you hear that begging in the prayer, in the form of baptism? Parents, we spoke about it at registration. What do we hear? We beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy, no rights, graciously to look upon these children. Parents, you may lay before the Almighty God, look upon this child. Look upon my children. Look upon that son or daughter that's so far gone. Maybe never comes in the roof. Under the administration of the covenant of grace, never to hear, I beseech thee of thy infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by the power of the Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ. We may beg him to do what they need and that we cannot do. But let's go through this promise. What does he promise? For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Thirsty is an adjective. It describes someone. It describes a noun, a thirsty sinner. So who's thirsty? Who is? All of us. What? Listen closely. All of us are thirsty. Really? Yes, by nature, we have all left the overflowing fountain of all good, that fountain of water, that fountain of grace in paradise. And we made ourselves so thirsty. But we don't seek it in Him. That's our guilt. We try to fill it with everything but God. Everything but God. Everything but Him. Everything but that Savior. Really? Listen to what we read in Jeremiah 2 verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. That's you and me by nature. We left God. Thirst. We have a thirst. And we try to satisfy it in a very religious way, like a Pharisee, or in a very worldly way. We try to satisfy ourselves with everything but God. Oh, how you need, lost sinner. Lost sinner, how you need Him to pour water upon your soul. That there would come real life, an absolutely new thirst that you never ever had in your life before, and you will not have without Him working in you, renewing you with the power of the Holy Spirit. You're guilty. May you become guilty this morning. The Lord made me. The Lord separated me. He put me under the administration of the covenant of grace. He's poured so many blessings, but all I give Him is nothing. All dead. All sin, all iniquities, and I just hunger and thirst for everything else. May it come by God's grace that he pours water upon you, water upon the souls of your children, water upon this congregation. Then there's hope. What will happen? Then sinners will become like David. As we read in Psalm 42, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So first, we're all thirsty. You need water. You need that Spirit poured upon you. But have you been awakened? Have you been made alive? Are you like Christians, so to speak? You can't live in the city of destruction no more. And you left. You're fleeing life, life, eternal life. And you're looking, you're longing, thirsty, hungry, trying to find that way back to God. Because your heart, your soul thirst for him that you never had before. But you can't find water. But you can't find water. My prayers isn't water. My righteousness is its water. It's all stinks. It's all death. And yet longing, looking, hoping, waiting. Sunday to Sunday, you come to God's house. Oh, may there be a little water for my soul. You read the word of God. You open. You seek him. There's water. What is that? What are they longing for? A little token. A little favor. A little something of sweet communion with the Lord. Oh, that he would show me a little favor for my wretched soul. All becomes a wilderness inside. What was sweet before is all bitter. And what you didn't even care about before, you hunger and thirst for. When will he come? And oh, he promises, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. And he makes them thirsty. But oh, to taste it, to hear of it is one thing. But to experience it in your soul, a little refreshment, a little mercy, a little grace, a little something of hope of forgiveness, a little smile from heaven, a little token, a little sweet communion. But how? Is that you? Longing, waiting, searching, seeking. Lord, when will they come? When will thou come and pour water into my soul? I'm so unworthy, but Lord, when? How? How will such ones ever receive? I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Oh, to receive those blessings of the gospel. How? They need to be led to a place of absolute death and wilderness in themselves so that they begin to look for someone else. The Lord brings them, awakens them, pours a thirst in them, but to be satisfied, because there's only one way. And that's not in self, it's only in one. It's only in that Savior, Jesus Christ, in him alone. But do we immediately thirst for him? Yes, there comes a thirst for God, but to be reconciled, how will that ever take place? Only through a mediator, through him who poured out his blood, who poured out everything, who became cursed so that those blessings can flow out to such unworthy sinners. Sinner, you need to be brought to one place. What place? To him, to that precious Savior, to be brought up to him. And he calls, listen, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. And what a wonder he says. You may come without money, without price. Is that you? Just bankrupt, lost, thirsty. But how? Oh, that you would become like that woman who came to him and who was turned away, so to speak, three times. A very discouraging word, but she just came lower and lower like that little dog. And all she had left was, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. He will come. He will come at his time. But you will only receive through him who is at fountain, who poured out his blood only through him. Oh, then look only to him. Look to him. Seek it in him and in him alone, because you only find it in him through his wounds And he said in John 7 verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of water. Have you been made thirsty? Have you? Have you tasted a little something? Other ones. We considered dead ones. We considered ones that are awakened. But you, little lambs, little sheep, you have tasted a little something, a little refreshment. And you can confess with the poet, O God, thou art my God, early I will seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And have you experienced a little water? A little water for your soul? Oh, to taste just a drop. A drop of his love, a drop of his mercy for such an unworthy sinner. But how is it now? Has it become dry again? Has it become barren again? Oh, then they learn a different thirst and a different degree. Why? Because they tasted something of it, and now they miss it in a different degree. And he promises, I will pour water upon him that's thirsty. Oh, to receive a little refreshing grace. Oh, Lord, refresh us by thy grace. Revive and quicken all our powers as failing streams are made to flow, replenished by abundant showers. Oh, may the Lord refresh those whom he has made thirsty. It's his work. And now we read also upon floods, upon dry ground. What do we see when we see dry ground, children? Dry ground. Have you ever seen it? Desert. It's cracked. Big holes. Nothing lives. It's just barren deadness. No water. No rain. And that land is just there. It doesn't feel it. It doesn't need it. It doesn't cry. It's just dead. What a picture of a lost sinner. Such a great absolute need, but just dead. No real prayer, no beseeching, no begging, no longing, no thirst, just absolute deadness, hardness, nothing. No repentance, no faith, just absolutely nothing. And what do they deserve? What do you and I deserve? What does Israel deserve? What do you and I deserve after all these blessings? That he would just pour out his wrath as he did upon Sodom and Gomorrah, or as he did in the days of Noah. But what do we read? For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. Oh, may we beg him for those dry, dead sinners that he would pour water upon them, floods and abundance, that they may come alive. May we become beggars before him, for his honor, for his glory, for his covenant's sake. Beg it for your children. Beg it for your grandchildren. And I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and thy blessing upon thine offspring. But what else describes dry ground? That can also be God's people. God's people. Before it was watered, but now it has all become barren again. Is that you this morning? Recipients of God's grace, before there was life, before there was zeal, flames of love, but now where is it? It's all smoking flax, bruised reeds, it's all cold, barren, it becomes so barren again. How is it in your soul, Church of God? I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon dry ground. What a promise, what a hope. For absolute wretched sinners who are just dead in sins and trespasses, we may beg him that he will work in what he has promised. But also for his people, because they need it. They need to be refreshed. They need to be refreshed until they are brought home. May we become beggars, unworthy beggars, and beg him that he would work by the operation of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may be recipients of that experiential grace in the hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, what a blessing it would be. Not only that the Lord has poured out the Holy Spirit, that he would come among us and work mightily We see the desert with the floods and the rain. We see grass, grass, and they shall spring up among the grass as willows by the watercourses. Who can count all those blades in the African desert when there comes a flood, all dead, and then a flood? Who can count all those blades? It speaks of abundance. It speaks of hope. It speaks of mercy. It speaks of grace. Oh, may we beg of Lord, work mightily. What will be the effect? Then sinners that are reproved will repent, not rebel. Then sinners will become thirsty for the word of God. They long to hear his voice. They begin to open the Bible in such a different way. Oh, may I see him. May he be revealed to my soul. I need him. He becomes necessary. He becomes suitable. And he becomes precious to hear his voice and to receive a blessing. Oh, may we beg him, Lord, pour out thy Holy Spirit in the operations of the hearts of sinners, because the knees will become bent. Lips will become open. Holiness will be sought for. Sin will be fled from. And especially there will be a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness and for him. For him who is righteousness. Those who have never needed him, never thirsted for him. They will begin to long for him by his operation. And they will mourn for him, we read in Zechariah. For him that was pierced, and they will see it. My sin pierced him. And oh, how they will mourn. Oh, may we beg them, Lord, pour mightily, powerfully, that burdened sinners may be drawn as Christian through the gate, and that they may be refreshed by those living waters, by that blood, by the riches of the grace of that mighty Savior. Oh, may we beg him for those lost in our families, in our community, in Canada, through the world, and also the Jews. May we beg him, as we read in Ezekiel 37, verse 9, come thou, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain, that they may live. That's my prayer, congregation. I love your soul. Your soul, that you may live. You need life. Lord, come. Come with the word. Come with the spirit, that there may be life. But also for God's people. Song of Solomon 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. Oh, may we beg him, Lord, do as thou hast said, for thy honor, for thy glory, and the eternal comfort of thy beloved people. Amen. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, oh, what a precious word. Oh, may we then be brought home on our knees, confessing our guilt, our sinfulness, our wretchedness. But may we also be brought home on our knees, begging thee, Lord, what thou hast promised, work in me. I have a such need, I'm lost. Renew me, give me life. Look upon my children, Lord, renew them. Pour thy spirit upon them, pour water upon them, that they may be life, that they may hate sin, that they may have the fear of God in their hearts. Lord, do it for thyself. Remember all those who have been awakened, that they may be drawn unto thyself and find rest, find peace, find refreshment, have a little something from thy grace, from thy mercy, to eat of him, the bread of life. O Lord, would it not be to thy name's sake, to thy honor, to thy glory? Look upon us in mercy, Lord. May we acknowledge thee for this precious time together in thy house to hear thy precious word. Blessed, bless thy word and sacrament. Keep us in this day. Bring us together again tonight. And may we acknowledge thee for thy help to listen and to proclaim thy word. Without thee, we can do nothing. Forgive our many sins. For Jesus' sake alone, amen. Let us close with singing now from Psalter 221, stanzas 1 and 3. Great Shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. 221, stanzas 1 and 3. Dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.